right, so here we are, worldwide live through the internet, taken care of by BBS Radio. Thank you so much, BBS, for making this possible for us. This is Wednesday, September the 21st, 2016. My name is Gijs Minderhout, located in Magalia, California. Today is the call where if you have questions, we have answers. Taken care of by Winfrey and his co-host, Terry Brown, who does the channeling. Thank you so much for being here. So here we are, Worldwide Live, and we had more on the conference call. Thank you so much for being here. Gant, please say your name and location.
Michigan.
That was Raiden?
No.
No, that's Win.
This is Win.
All right, Win.
That was a caller from Michigan.
From Michigan. Okay, I could barely hear anything from that. What's your name, the gentleman from Michigan?
Oh, Sal from Michigan.
Hello, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right. Who else joined in? If you want to, please say your name and location.
This is Jim from Medford, New Jersey.
Good evening, Jim, and welcome to the call.
Good to be here.
All right. Anyone else? Please speak up. If you want to. In the meantime, we are past the clock of six that you're here in. I believe that Terry Brown is also present.
Terry, are you also present?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Hello, Terry. Great to hear your voice. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Get your mic closer, okay?
How's that?
Much better, okay?
Okay, great.
So you're not ready, I'm not ready, we can start, right?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Great. Oh, I'm gonna...
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
And here we go with our own recording. It's the 21st.
This conference is being recorded.
This is, September 21st, 2016. Wynn and Terry, and we are going to be answering questions, okay? And that you guys have submitted. So just a moment. Let me just take one quick look and see if any last-minute questions came up before we start. Hang on a second. Okay. I got a message from Debren in Lone Pine, Oregon. I think there's one other here. I think there's a question from Dharmananda. I don't know if I'll get to it, either of your questions. Because we got a lot of questions tonight, as opposed to last week when we weren't getting enough questions. All right, I only have here. From Bonnie. Okay, Bonnie, I got it. You've asked this before, so I try to give it some priority. Good question. Interesting question. Okay. And one more. Let's see. Let's see. You know, he's... Dharmananda, I'll put your question in here and I'll think about it. There was a manifestation of an angel over the Twin Towers, I believe on 9/11. And people are wondering, was that a message from higher sources or not? And I'm reluctant to ask those kind of questions. And let me just explain why. It's come to my knowledge quite some time ago that the negative, what we call the negative, is able to project holograms that look real. And at various times, you know, when you've seen certain things of like pictures of Jesus in the sky or statues crying, you know, there's the question, is that some real sign from higher-ups or is that something from negative projecting into this realm? Now, when Dharmananda asks me that question, was this a real sign? I don't want to ask it. Why don't I want to ask it? Well, suppose it is a negative projection. Suppose it is that. And now I'm exposing them. And I risk the work we're doing. And maybe even my life, I don't know, by scrutinizing those things. So I would say what's most important is do something. If you can do something with it and make your life better, then do it, okay? And if you can't do something with it and make your life better, just put it in the backlog, and if it's supposed to mean something, it'll come around and mean something. And you don't need it identified, at least not by me, because if I start identifying those things, you know, and I'm correct, then I put myself in a kind of negative limelight. And that's not what I want to do. And I don't see, personally, I see that signs, we have a lot of phenomena that happens on this call. And a lot of people have phenomena. And sometimes there's miracles. But the phenomena is usually, it goes somewhere. It's not to say, look, we can do phenomena, all right? I mean, I've had a few crazy things at the very beginning of me doing this where I know they were trying to catch my attention so that I wouldn't think, I thought it was real. For example, I said this a couple of times when I was first starting to connect in with a rock group. In the middle of the night, my printer turned on and started printing out a rock showing. And there was absolutely no reason why it should have done that. And I just drew the conclusion, they wanted me to know they were real. Okay? Now, if that happened to other people, they think they were nuts. But I was already, like, investigating the rock group. So what's the purpose of these kinds of phenomena, like seeing angels in the sky or having statues cry, whatever? Does it empower you or disempower you? To me, it seems like there's something disempowering about it. And the disempowerment is thinking that there's, you know, something to give your power up to. That can help you and surrender to. And that everything's okay because I saw an angel in the sky. Now, I'm not saying it's not positive. It could be. Maybe there's some reason that I don't know about that the positive would do that. And I might ask the question, like a general question, does the positive ever do phenomena like that, and see what they say. But in general, I don't think I'll ask that today, but I might put that on my back burner. But in general, it's like I say, even with our calls, I say, this is not a call to have you believe in something, to believe in me, Elohim. It's a call that you get wisdom, you get guidance, and there's energy on the call that many of you experience. And the energy is really feels good. And You can draw your own conclusions. I don't have to draw your conclusions. I don't want you to give up your power to me, and the Elohim doesn't want you to give up their power to them. They just want to be friends with us. So it's a new friend. It's an invisible friend in higher realms. The Ra group, same thing. It's like they got an energy signature in this realm. I think I can feel their energy signature. Many of you have felt their energy signature. And that's a real experience. It's like, okay, I got a new friend. And I can't see them. I can't go out to lunch with them. But they can send me energy. And I can feel the good energy when they do that. So on that note, let's get started. Father, Mother, God.
Ben, what? Can you improve your microphone?
Am I weak, are you saying?
It's better now.
I just moved it a little bit. Is that better?
It will do, yes. Thank you.
I can move it closer. Hang on. Is that better?
Say something.
Testing 1, 2, 3, 4.
Keep it like that, yes. Thank you.
Now, the problem is when I move it this close, I have to be careful because people hear me breathing, okay?
Yeah, and you can eventually move it away a little bit right now, I'd say.
Can you hear me breathing now?
Not yet. Okay. Are you breathing?
I think so. All right. Thank you. Thanks for letting me know. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light. Surround and protect each person here. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy, radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, into the center of the Earth. Right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present? Sorry, I don't hear you.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We take a moment and make connection with each and every person on the line who wishes to be connected with. If we say anything ever that does not resonate with you, then disregard it as it does not apply to you at this time. Sometimes when one asks the exact same question that another may have, the answer is totally different. Do you have questions?
Yeah, this is a question from Rick in Iowa City. And I might give a short answer to his question and turn it over to you. When one individually consults I Ching or Tarot cards, is the reading only based on just what he is just projecting on life at that moment? In other words, does it take into consideration outside factors that may or may not happen? Now, Rick, I used to do the I Ching all the time. And I was asking myself when I did it, how can this work? Because it worked so well. And the results were so oftentimes very accurate. And I came up with an idea about why these things work, things like I Ching or Tarot cards. You know, we talk about all these holograms that we are at the bottom of. When we call in the light, we have the energy moving through the galaxies, the Milky Way, the solar system, all and the planets. And those are all holograms that exist. And someone who's very masterful was able to create a connection between a particular hologram in a higher realm and our physical reality here, which is the download of all those holograms that are stacked on top of it. So they make a symbol for the point in the hologram so that when you go into a particular state of neutrality, your energy starts to connect with the hologram and the symbols that are relating to the hologram. And this random chaos ends up turning into an I Ching reading or a tarot card reading, which expresses the state of all the holograms and your hologram at the moment of the toss or the pick of the card. And it then becomes a correspondence. And the thing that I decided was that there were periods of time where I was moving very fast, particularly when I was traveling everywhere. And all the energies would change from moment to moment. So if I did an I Ching reading in a particular moment, it would accurately portray that moment. But 3 hours later, it might be a different reading because everything changed. The universe changed, the planets changed, and that there would be new correspondences. So I stopped doing it. I stopped doing it because there was a tendency to want to rock in the reading, and that locking it in might impact my decision-making even after things shift. So I wanted to evaluate things based on the new moment and not the previous moment. That's my answer. Let me turn it over to our sources and they can tell me if I've said anything wrong or add to that or whatever. Thank you.
Thank you. We would like to add to that the Tarot portrays the different holograms that are possible that one moves in through their life. The start with the not knowing, which would be the full card, the learning. The different cards portray different postures that one is at different junctures, one is at their life. Tarot cards have different symbols, different pictures within one card, which further point one to the specifics. When you have a card reader, they can pick up the specific area of one card, which they have been brought in the reading. So one has a play of things in play at the time, and they tend to be broader than to shift, although they can shift fast. They tend to be more stable over one period of a person's life, which can be short or longer. And the Tarot points to, at the moment, as Wynn has mentioned, what is in play for the person at the time. Things can shift fast, or in general, with the major cards, major arcana, then the card tends to indicate a state of life that one is moving through, and it can be more stable over a period of time as one moves through that. And the reader can help, depending upon what part of what card is shown to the reader, to guide the person getting the reading with how to move through that aspect of their life.
Now, it's my understanding that it was the Ra Group that created the tarot correspondence on this planet.
Yes. And it is also written in the pyramids.
The tarot?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And what period of time did that occur? And
30,000 or 30,000
years ago?
Yes.
In Egypt, right?
Before Egypt.
Before Egypt, in Mesopotamia?
In Mesopotamia, and it was developed in the Ra Group off the planet and was given to specialized people that could see it and write it down.
Thank you. And so were they trying to give us a help to connect with the higher holograms?
They were coming from the higher levels to focus what was going on to help the people orient to whatever stage of life they were experiencing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Rick had put a couple more questions in, and Rick, I'll come back to them if I have time. Otherwise, let me move on here. This is from Rich Buckley. And in my research, I came across this Egyptian text that is reported to be the ancient text of the Kalu. It is reported to have been passed down over many centuries. Could you please tell us about the Kalu? Did they write the text? Are they part of the Ra consciousness? Could you tell me the special skills of the Kalu? And do the Kalu have pre-Atlantean and our Atlantean roots? It sounds like there could be a very long answer to this, Rich, so we'll let them just briefly skim it. But then he has the text, okay? Father, son, whose golden disc is the symbol of the inner light, touch our hearts with your sacred fire at the dawning of this new day. As you ascend in the heavens, inspire us to follow you so we may rise in ascension and dwell always in the realm of light. And, Rich, I want to make a comment on that. It sounds very much like it's connected to Akhenaten because of the sun disk. And I had asked a number of questions about Akhenaten, and, you know, he was the guy who supposedly brought one god into this realm, that idea. And then also, he talked about the sun and the sun god, Ra, the sun god, and that we have been learning, and I have been learning, that God is much bigger than the sun. And so I asked the question in some session about that, and why did Akhenaten use the sun as his reference? And the answer went something like this. The energy comes from the center of the universe through everything, as we talk about in our invocation, and then it comes into our solar system, and then it comes to our bodies and into the earth. Well, in older times, the energy that was not within the human potential to increase their hologram more further out than the sun. So the sun became a focal point for this energy and this for our potential to expand, because we couldn't expand beyond the sun. And that is why Akhenaten, I think, was like 3,500 years ago, used the sun god as his reference point, because that was as big as you could do then. Let me turn it over to our sources and see what they have to say.
Thank you. The source theory has no knowledge of what the Kulu is, but we go further. We take a look and we see that it contains a special energy. The words, the language is expressive of a certain energy that has been passed down, an energy that is intended to be a guide and a directive and a learning tool for the past, going from Egypt and earlier through Atlantis and earlier through South Africa. It's an energy tool that originally was set up by the masters and the keepers of the Kulu to bring focus and to bring organization and to bring expression into and knowledge into the human race. And it is a specific energy, and as it kept going from people that were able to read it and then to teach it and to pass it on. It has a very sweet, nice energy that has the comfort of passing knowledge on. Does that help?
Somewhat. I'll leave it at that, because otherwise it gets too technical. And we're moving on to the next question. So,
well, I think other things we might say is that it comes through history, through the area of Sirius earlier, and it hasn't changed, and it has been gotten. The essence of it carries through over time.
Is there, he asked a question, I'll add just one question. Any connection between Kulu and Ra?
It is a separate vibrational language. It is. We attempt to see it is a separate energy track. Ra is much bigger in scope, and although Ra does have the ability to move in and to sense the language, it is separate track that Ra has the ability to access.
Thank you. Now, next question. And this is from Jim in Medford, New Jersey. And it's just, he's allowed me to reword this. He is going through an experience now where he has a niece that's 7 years old, that's very lovely, angelic, and is suddenly discovering some kind of cancer on the base of her spine, base of her brainstem, that has a potential to be fatal. And she's in the hospital, and of course we've asked some other questions about this already, but the overall question is, why is it that people end up in circumstances like this and suffer, and the family suffer, why does this occur when the person seems so angelic and good, so to speak? Is it a karmic thing? Is it an accidental thing? Did they have to happen to breathe something that infected them at some time and they had to release it? Why do good people have really hard things happen for them? And I thought this is an important question for lots of us who are having in the midst of experiences like that.
Thank you. It depends upon each situation. Each situation is a different situation, although there are categories which things fall into. It does not need to be. It isn't something that is preordained. It's just something that is created, but not even necessarily by the person. The person may be the innocent target of something and is fighting against it in innocence to survive. The knowledge in the past of how to help spirits that have passed over has been really deficient. So you have spirits passing over that are very upset and do not know how to further express themselves and feel like that they are totally left out and the living person is the recipient of energy and love and care. But then there is in the spirit crossed over. Perhaps each one has a different experience and each one is a different person with its own issues. And there needs to be a technology that can go in and see exactly what it is that is the issue of the troubling entity that is creating a problem and why that person is creating a problem. And to just ask that it go away does not solve the problem, but getting to the heart of the problem solves the problem. There was a healing done today for the child. So let it be, and send love and care and to the child, that the child may take over its own power, her own body, and we pause here as we envision this, the child taking her own power back. Thank you. Are you there?
Yeah, thank you. I'm sorry. I had a case of teriitis, and I didn't unmute. Bonnie has a question. And, you know, in my own study of astrology years ago, I remember there were what's called four elements, earth, air, fire, and water. And each of the planets represented one of the elements. And earth was like grounding, air was like communication, fire was enthusiasm, and water was emotion. Okay? That's what I recall, and it seemed to fit as I studied the signs. So her question is, and I don't know if she's relating it to astrology, does earth, air, and fire have qualities of consciousness like water? But she's not describing what kind of quality of consciousness water has. And so the question is a little bit awkward, but I'll let it stand. Are these elements found in other worlds as well? Thank you.
Thank you. That is only an approximation. For instance, fire. It has all different kinds of ramifications. You can indicate it as enthusiasm and passion, but it is only a meek description. Water, flow, change. It can get into change. Flow allows the energy to move through. So, earth, air, fire, and water are only approximate representations of something that branches out into distinct separations of definitions that lead you to further and further knowledge. Does that help?
Yes, it does. So, in terms of earth, fire, earth, air, and water, why are those five elements connected with planets, where there's four earth planets, four fire planets, four water planets, etc.?
It has to do with the energy that comes in from those particular planets, as the spectrum of elements on those planets puts out a different energy, and it is a rough representation of the energy those planets are putting out. Are you there?
Yes. Oh, here we go. Unmuting again. Okay. Next question is from... All right. Hang on. Okay. Another one from Jim in Medford, New Jersey. In recent years, I have felt drawn towards the period of time in and around our nation's founding, be it the Revolution, the Constitution, or other events of the time. The sense of connection has grown stronger recently, and I'm curious, do I have a past connection with this period and the events that took place in and around Philadelphia? And let me just say, Jim, you may not answer a question like that because it's one of those questions that they want you to uncover it yourself, okay? Is there any reason why my sense of connection has been increasing and is currently at such an intense level? Thank you.
Yes, in connecting with when and becoming more focalized towards the area where you are and the possibility of you having lived there before and taken part in the setup of the development of the area, the setup of the Constitution. You are becoming more sensitized as you focus in the area. So keep on focusing in that area as events occur, and see what, when you close your eyes before you go to sleep, you envision, and then just let it play out like a video, and you will learn more.
Thank you. You know, Terry and I and other people have this
muted,
and I'll share it with you.
Unmuted.
Because it's kind of like, as you increase your expanded space in yourself, and this is not a quick process, but as you do, some people call this downloads. I don't like to call it a download, because it sounds like I'm here and something is coming from above high. It seems to me that as you increase your space, that you start tuning in to lower levels of, some of you are probably already doing this, and you'll know what I'm talking about. You kind of get flashes of things, of insights. Sometimes even visually, you'll see something. And it's because you are going above the timeline where something occurred. In other words, there is no past, there is no future. Everything is in the now. But even though that's true at the highest sense, at the level we're at, there is definitely the experience of a past and a future. And so as you move up and are more in the now, you start, Terry calls the word visio, you start getting visuals, almost like a daydream, it feels like, of various episodes and events that are coming in because you have lifted yourself above that timeline. That's how I see it. I mean, this is a very great topic, which we've never talked about. Let me turn it over to our sources and have them give their take on that process that I just spoke about.
Thank you. There are a number of factors that might enter in here. One of them is what you mentioned as visio, where you may, in current time, suddenly tune in to something going on somewhere else. For instance, Terry has this happen sometimes when she closes her eyes and, or even leaves them open and sees, say, a fire going on, and then can kind of get a direction and say, okay, there's some kind of a fire occurring in this part of the country. And like that's just like visual. But then there's such a thing as a download, and that's different than remote viewing. Remote viewing is seeing something that's just like getting out your psychic telescope and watching something happen. So then there is such a thing as a download, where there's a package of information that has been recorded in the astral, in the Akashic perhaps, and it comes in and it plays through as a video, but it's different than physio or remote viewing, where this package of information comes in, plays through, and the person can be conscious of it, and it's like a whole package of sound bites and visio and feelings and touch, and it can come in and give information to a person who is asking or is looking for information, or which the information will help. So these are some of the different ways of accessing information. And then there is the record in the Akashic where it isn't automatically downloaded, but the person may seek information about some event or something happening and can then open up the portal for that information to come in and can look at it. An example would be around Christmas time often. Jerry, when she closes her eyes to cool to bed, travels and looks out of her body, but she is still in her body, but extended vision to see people's Christmas trees and Christmas tree lights and towns with the lights lit up, and it's very beautiful. It's a beautiful experience.
Thank you. Okay, another question from Bonnie. And Bonnie Pinners in Corona. Corona? I think so. And we were told, she was told, in a previous answer, that my boyfriend Scott and I had past lives together and that we may have been a help to each other after we were marooned on Earth. And for those of you that haven't heard the past answers, Bonnie was supposedly on a spaceship and marooned on Earth. And can you expand on this, please? Did we interact with Earth beings, and where did this take place? And since she asked about expanding on it, I would like to just ask the question, if she doesn't mind, if you don't feel it's clear, she can ask it herself in the future. Was she part of an Anunnaki crew that came to Earth? Thank you.
We would prefer that you, perhaps when you go to bed at night, just take a moment with your eyes closed and ask to get information more in your dreams. We would prefer than to lead you through this for you to take the dominant position. When you were marooned on Earth, you felt a lack of power, a lack of ability to control your future, to control your access to travel. You felt a tremendous loss of power, and through accessing and developing your strength and your muscle to remember your own self, you can begin to build your own power.
Thank you. Let me ask Dharmananda's question in a more general way and see what comes up. We talked about this beam of light that was in 911, and we talked about some of the other phenomena that can happen. And in one book I read, they suggested that in this future time, there was a chance the negative, we might even project holograms of Jesus all over the world at the same time to try to connect with that hopefulness and prophecy that Jesus was going to return. So when we talk, see phenomena, we talked about phenomena that we've seen in our group, like my printer going on and printing a Rothschild. We've seen pink lights in this realm, which is not really the Elohim creating that phenomena. It's the offshoot of when the Elohim projects their energy in this realm that pink show. Okay? Now, when we see phenomena that is like this one of seeing an angel on a light beam or a projection of Jesus in the sky or things like that, do the highest forces ever create phenomena like that to give us signs?
Thank you. You have an event, 9/11, where you have thousands of people. Do not forget the people that were involved, the people that were praying, the people that were in trouble. It is a big factor. They were praying. They had no way out. And angels did come to help. Angels did come in response to the people's prayers to help. Do not leave the people in the buildings and their consciousness and their prayers out of this, for it is a very significant factor.
So, in other words, people could see an angelic force. Like on Clarice's email that we sent out a couple of weeks ago, where she most definitely had a couple of really clear angels suddenly interfacing with her email. And
yes,
that when angels, it may not be the Elohim and Ra group creating these phenomena, but there are angels that come in and can actually make themselves so they're visible and
yes,
create these kinds of phenomena.
Yes.
That's more accurate. And is it often this negative does this as well, to try to divert people's energies? And maybe you don't want to answer that, and that's okay.
Well, sometimes there are efforts to delude the people and make them think that there has been a vision when there hasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And that we would include in the negative. But angels are very real phenomena coming in to help.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's a really great answer. And thank you, Dharmananda, for asking it, because I think we found what we're looking for, okay? And it's 6:53, and I'm not going to do another question. Why don't we take a moment right now and just do a quick planetary clearing with the Elohim with us? Is that okay with our sources?
Yes, we put out the prayer for Philomena to regain her power over her body and for her future to be bright.
You're talking about Jim's niece?
Yes.
Okay. So let's just bring in our group energy and experience the connection we all are making on a high level on these calls and on this call. And we invite our sources, all positive beings, not just Elohim and Ra, but all beings that are feeling our energy, that would choose to join with us and hold this space around our planet for everything that's positive, everything that's uplifting, in support of all people that are working to make a difference, in support of Mother Earth and all the suffering she's endured as a result of the way humans have abused her. And we go above any negative on this planet. We go above and around it. And we ground this energy worldwide right now. And that we are glad for this opportunity to do this. And thank you to our sources for being here. And on that note, do we have any final comments from Rahan?
It goes beyond words. These words do not express a profound connection that we feel with each and every person who wishes to be connected with. It is very sacred. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and thank you all on this line for being part of this group connection. Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Hives. And we will unmute everybody now. Just a moment.
All callers are unmuted.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you. Thanks, Terry.
Thank you. I love you all.
Love to all.
See you Sunday.
Good night, everybody.